Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Start talking a little bit louder.
Hello and welcome to the latest Ramble Meets. I'm Andy Brassel, even if I do sound a little bit like Luke Moore. And I was lucky enough to spend a bit of time recently with Bordeaux's head coach, Paulo Sousa, on a beautiful sunny day at the club's very nice training ground at Le Halon, which is just outside the city. You'd like it. Lots of greenery and a big old chateau in the middle where the players go in for lunch and whatnot afterwards. Anyway, Paulo was super generous with his time and we got to chew it all over. His amazing playing career, the influence of Sven, one for Mr. Speller there, and all the trophies, plus his nomadic coaching career, which has taken him through England, Hungary, Israel, Switzerland, Italy, China, and now Southwest France, which he's really embracing. And he tells us just how Portugal produces so many good players and coaches, just in case you wondered. Enjoy.
So for those of us who are old enough to remember you, Paulo, as a player, you're a special type of player, a player with a certain type of vision. That's how we looked at you, I guess, from a British perspective, mm-hmm. but from a Portuguese perspective, how do you think people saw you when you first came into the game when you were a teenager? Were you treated as if you were different? Were you treated as if you were special?
When I left my hometown.
You're from Viseu,
I'm from Viseu. Yeah. I left with 14 years old to go to play in Benfica in Lisbon. Struggling a lot emotionally, not easy for a young boy, you know, to go to another environment, and very demanding because football, it's really competitive, and you go to play important role, and you need to compete with the top ones at the national level, no, and but have lots of changements in my football career, because I started as a winger, I passed for striker, second striker, as a youth level. But at a center, a certain point, when Sven Goran Eriksson comes to Benfica to coach the professional team, I get the first opportunity to be involved, and from then himself and the way normally I used to live already that from this time my life, it's glad to have the opportunity to do something I love and keep it all the opportunities you have, not dictate what I want, but mainly to be prepared for everything what it can arrive. I could be ready, you know, to catch, and it's near or less what happens in the professional level. The midfield position, it was opportunity. Mm. Opportunity gave me from the coach, but also for the environment, and the environment, it was certain players, they played in the summer the World Cup, and they arrive late.
Yeah.
For that, at the moment they arrive late, there it's where you have much more space, where you can perform, and probably also can get to the your position. And from that I started as a midfield player, and I learned too quick. Of course, for me it was much easier. Much more easier to see what the players up front of me they request.
So you map the game because you can see it all.
I could see it all because I experience also that positions. For that, for me, it was quite easy to understand that one, that part. The other part, it's to be more low, defensive level, tactical situations. But I have also the opportunity to have two center backs behind me who guide me, and he helped me to develop also the way to read the game quicker in when the team don't have the ball. So that it was really quick. But probably to be much more synthetic or generalize certain my the way the people he always see myself, it's a honest player, hard worker, read the game quite quick, make good decisions before the ball arrives to me, and then I always keep improving my skills technically, to dictate the game with the ball. I always love it to be a player who takes risks to play forward, very vertical, looking through the lines, also difficult passes with 60 meters to change the rhythm of the game. But mainly, and this is what I feel really proud, it's everywhere where I was, the people don't forget me for what I was as a player, but also as a person.
So if you look back all those years, I mean, did Sven-Göran Eriksson see something in you that you didn't see in yourself? And how much of an influence did he make on not just what you became as a player, but what you've gone on to become as a coach? Because you talk now about how important getting your old position right, that deep-lying playmaker, that player in front of the centre-backs. You always talk about how important that is for your team. So how influential has Sven been, if we think back all those years?
Yes, he influenced me because he saw something it could be useful for that moment for Benfica. Something I've always been open, you know, to learn and to progress and to deliver. I understand the importance of that role, because it's a link in all the moments of the game, offensive game, our defensive organization, the both transitions, how to link the sectors, you know, the lines of our team, how we can communicate, how we can be involved on the game, during 90 minutes, and this is something I appreciate a lot.
So you talked about how tough it was originally to move away when you were a teenager and to come south to Lisbon. I mean, we look at Portuguese academies, and increasingly more the Benfica Academy is being a really strong one in recent years. We've seen Bernardo Silva come for, Renato Sanches, João Félix at the moment. How was the Benfica Academy at the time, and how do you think it was changed? I mean, we know how the Sporting Academy has changed, because when Cristiano Ronaldo and Simão and players like that were there, they were staying around the back of the main stand at the old Alvalade. But now, of course, they have their special facility at Alcochete in the little fishing village outside Lisbon, which is seen as like a market leader really in so many ways, and Sporting's identity is to produce players. So how was Benfica's academy then, and how do you look at it now?
It's a massive difference, also a great huge investment from Benfica, and from that all this progress. It's of course part of this process. It's about infrastructures, but the second step, it's a human resource, and to have a project very clear. On this project, you have a process where you need to follow. It's not always straight. You need to have the guidelines. And Benfica, what it show in these last years, it's in the right in the right road. And for that, it's producing lots of players, gain lots of money to keep feed. The infrastructures, the human resource, and the scoutings, and the coaches' education, and also, and finally the players. You know it, and this it's amazing, it's massive. But also Porto, he invest a lot in their infrastructures. We have lots of things that we invest. All the starting point, it was the generation before mine, where I was also involved, because I was one of the players with 2 years less younger than this generation, but I was already involved on that. We started with Carlos Queiroz. Carlos Queiroz, it was the mentor of the project. It was the person who persuaded the leaders, the president from the FA, the government, to create a project who could involve our country, because our country, it's not regarding population, is not so big. For that, you need to do the right things also. But the truth, it was we made the right things after three years of. These processes of our project, it was paid by the first winning in the World Cup under 20 in Saudi Arabia, 89.
Was that the first big moment in your career?
It was the big moment for me and for all the players it was involved, because at that time it was really difficult to be involved in the professional level. It's normally for the highs of the football, you are too young, you need to wait. Near or less 24-25, it's the moment where you can join with more maturity and you can deliver. And that it was everything, it was changed too quickly. And from that, we began to be involved in the professional level, high level, also regarding competing in international with Benfica, Porto, Sporting, Guimarães, Boa Vista, and in 1-2 year times you started to see it already, not one but 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 players also abroad, and the top players in Europe. And this bring you also the other key point he needs for all these projects. It's the mentality to find out what the other ones already have it regarding a winning culture, how you can bring these kind of things inside of the federation, inside of the clubs, inside of a country, to keep feeding all the process to growing. And we have a moment this process is stabilized, but then it jump again. Because the clubs, they realize it's very difficult to compete economically with other countries. Mm. For that, the way you can really be competitive, it's in your academies.
And I suppose really Portugal doing that, it sort of preceded the Premier League and the Champions League and the reformatting. So they were, I guess, more ready for that than they might have been. But you in 1989 and your colleagues winning the becoming the world youth champions, I mean, that preceded by 2 years the golden generation. You think Javier Pinto, Luis Figo, players like that. Players who you ended up forming part of a national team of Portugal with, who had very successful years. And, you know, we think of 1966 and Eusebio and the World Cup. But really, when we think of Portugal becoming a consistently strong team in international competition, we think of that team. Did you know that something special was happening at the time?
Yes, we know that, we feel that, we was also educated to have this feeling on the process of build a player. It's also to give confidence on the competition where we can compete with top countries.
Well, people expect something of Portugal now.
And after they started to expect in 96 in England, it was our first step where we already was with a certain number of players for these two generations, where we was very close because we played really well. We lost against Republika Czech, but practically during all the game we was better.
And it was a freak goal, really.
This is also experience.
Yeah.
We're missing also certain positions where it could be much more consistent, where it can give us that level. And Portugal, he keep working in these directions to be much more consistent in this competition. And it happens that.
And then by Euro 2000, you're incredibly close to winning the whole thing.
Yes, like I said, that it's to winning. You have lots of factors. It can conditionate that final win. For us, in my point of view, it was mainly key positions, because when you arrive to the final these moments, every player he need to come from the season fresh. And you know, to keep that consistency in our game, and also at certain, like I told it before, you have key positions where keep missing to Portugal, and on the process of this project, the leaders they try to, you know, to promote and try to build for the new generations where we could be much more consistent, and still arrive this moment, you know, to win European Cup and now the nation camps.
So. Yeah, so I guess like by the time we got to Euro 2000, by then you're not a young player anymore. You're a far more experienced player. You're one of the key members of the squad. You've been in Italy. You've been in Germany. If we go back to when you left Sporting to join Juventus. I mean, you talked about how you loved when you were in that position, being able to see the game, being able to read all the game. In that sense, did it make it kind of inevitable that you would end up going to Italy at some point?
I don't know it. It before it happens already with Benfica to have some interest from some other clubs in Italy. In that time, Italy, it was the league where all the top players joined to play. The ones they have much more economical capacities, and the ones they have better players. For that, all the other ones they want to join that. When I joined that, it was another step in my career because tactically it's a country, it's very demanding, but you can learn really quick. You understand much better the game, and I was since a young boy. It was someone very shy, and one of the things I developed it was my capacity of observation and analysis to deliver and to choose the things it could be good for me or not, you know, to perform after that. And Dizzy gave me that opportunity. Players, Marcelo Lippi, like coach, and all the environment on the club. He helped me, you know, to build it up more resource in my maturity as a football player and as a person.
And, you know, looking back now, you can see that Real Madrid winning three Champions Leagues in a row is an incredibly hard thing to do.
Yeah.
You always need a bit of luck, but
I was quite close. I was two, but yeah. We ended with different clubs. But
we're going to come to that. But I mean, the Juventus were very, very close in those years as well. Three successive finals. Yeah. And I mean, they had an incredible team. You look back on it. I mean, do you look back on that now and think that was a team that should have won the Champions League three, 4 years ago?
They missed one thing, because normally they was very methodic and also looking to anticipate all the things, you know, to perform and to win. They're missing only one thing. It's to keep me.
That's the obvious thing. Well, of course, in 96, 97, you moved to Dortmund.
Yeah.
The Champions League ended up coming with you.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking to Paul Lambert ages ago about this. And he was saying to me that the day that he signed for Borussia Dortmund, they said, we're bringing you, just to be clear, we're bringing you as backup to Paulo. If Paulo is fit, you don't play. It is that simple. And he was like, well, okay, I come from Motherwell, I'm in anyway. I want to experience Dortmund. I want to experience playing abroad. And he had a good season. And at the end of the season, it worked out that you played together in this final lineup. And it worked perfectly against what was a Juventus side absolutely packed with stars.
It's true. It's it was a big choice in my career. Because I was with an injury where I need to get surgery, and the club Dortmund accept that. It's a club who wants me. We played against them twice with Juventus, once in Europa League and the other one in Champions League. But I know the team quite well, the club not too much, but the team, the players I know quite well. And when I took the decision to Dortmund, it's because I realize. I could deliver, I could put that team to raise another level.
Yeah.
And for that I took that challenge. I challenged me also myself, but I was really convinced. And from the beginning, I remember quite well in my presentation to our fans and German football, saying to them, I decided to come here to win the Champions League, and I remember quite well the moment of the cameramen's, you know, they was focus on me and they stand up like, what this guy coming to say to us, you know it. But since the beginning, I try to pass all that conviction. I have it since the moment I took the decision to sign for Dortmund. And this is made it with all the players and also with Paul. And Paul, yes, we work a lot tactically. It was always like the most of the Scottish players very disponible physically, you know, working hard all the time, humbles in all his work. And all around the team, technically it was really good. We was forwards like Andy Muller. It's a player amazing with lots of resource. Stefan Schapius as behind me, Matthias Sammer. You have Kohler, where I was played also together in Juventus. For that, it's. And it was something I was really convinced. And with Paul, the same. We get really well linked together. Try to drive him also in many things. And the truth, it's in the end. We have a history because he loves my small Rolex. I have it, and he told me before the game. He asked me before the game if we win the the final, the Champions League, if I can give him my Rolex. And in the end, the first thing it was, he comes, Paulo, come, we win. Where is my Rolex? And in that moment, I give it my Rolex to him.
Oh, he didn't manage to get away without it.
I don't know what he made it to with my Rolex. Hopefully, he can keep it for a big memory, because it's a great memory for us. And it was an evening special for me, because it was easy. It's during all the week, all the tensions, it was in us.
Because the final was in Germany.
It was in German, but not only with Dortmund, also with Juventus. In myself, because it was against my former old club. For that, also in Italy, you know, the press, it was give me lots of pressure also as well, and in the end, you know, we will succeed, and it was for me amazing evening where I cannot forget, with all my family, part of my city. It was in that final also as well. For that, it's something I cannot forget.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
So if we move on to your coaching career, you started back where it all started, really, with the young players of Portugal, the under-16s, under-17s, and then the job at Queen's Park Rangers come up. Now, obviously, you have quite a link with England, especially with, and the English League, especially with the start of your career. Yeah. I mean, it went really well at Swansea, and we'll come to that in a minute. But did the Queen's Park Rangers, what happened at Queen's Park Rangers and what happened at Leicester, did that kind of give you an education on how volatile football management can be?
I have a period important before I become a coach, where I feel really important, because the coaching education, it's very important.
It's a huge thing in Portugal, isn't it? I mean, Portugal's renowned for having very educated coaches. Why is that?
And I invest a lot. I decide and have the opportunity to work by side to the to the president of the federation. At the same time, be involved in all seminars, football seminars in UEFA, with club coaches or national coaches. I was there continuous for 6 years, try to understand all.
Is this when you're still a player?
No. When I stopped it when I finished my career, UEFA gave me the opportunity also to go to the different countries to understand what projects they have that countries for football, to interview people, to understand what they do it, clubs also, projects in academies, and this make me grow a lot to have another vision. At the same time, together with the federation, we was involved to create and to develop a project for our clubs in Portugal, to help them, to support them with knowledge in different areas the clubs they needed, together with UEFA. Something I saw it in UEFA, and something I spoke with the president to get it also for in Portugal. Someone the federation we can deliver, can help support the clubs to improve their skills inside of the club. Universities, I invest also to listen, another type of methods, talk with the people, because in my idea I want to be a coach, but a coach with a method different than I was coached by. And then it happens, this opportunity, because the first decision I want to have is to keep growing after the first years with the national teams, youth, it's to make a step. It was practically done with the Primavera of Inter Milan. And in one of the seminars of the national coach in Vienna, I was a good number of hours together with in that time the national coach for England,
Capello,
Fabio. Fabio, looking for Fabio. Capello is missing. Yes, Fabio Capello. It was there, and when he returned to England, it was with Flavio Briatore, looking for that time a club, a coach for him, and he told about him. And from that, in 2-3 days, the things he changed. He have this opportunity. I thought, okay, in England, why not? We need to start. It's something I love. I want to arrive to in Premier. They have these ambitions, why not we will try it. It was a baptism, very on fire, completely, but it he always useful. All the things for me, what I took from my life, professional or personal, for me it's like opportunity to grow. And it was easy, but it was something it really helped me to grow.
So what was different about Swansea in between? The fact that the club had continuity, that they let you do things how you wanted to do them?
No, first of all, because you Jenkins, he recognized also in me, and with the people he spoke also, someone, a coach who could continue the same things or same style of football Martinez he made it in the in the previous years. And the true, it's together we made a fantastic year, and we arrive on the after 27 years at the best finish, the best result. It was in 1 point to arrive to the playoffs. I think it was 2 or 3 key points in the season. I would like to have some more support regarding the squad, and at the same time Today I'm completely different. I have a staff with much more resource. Mm. That time I work all the with Bruno. All of us, it was the beginning also in our career. Mm. And all these small things with a different world, like second division in England, you know, you need to know it quite well, or you need to have some people who guide you to make better decisions, you know. Yeah. To make sure that point happens, you can go there, but it don't happen.
I mean, do you look back at that now and think, like, that really was a case of learning on the fly? Because especially, yes, as you say, in the English Championship, it's a brutal division where everyone can beat everyone, and there are 46 games in the season. Yeah. I mean, what time do you have to train the players? Do you look back at that now and here, and you've got luxury to work with players also, and time?
And also there in Swans, it's one of the things, you know, it was very difficult for me. It was the infrastructures, they was really poor. We have only one pitch, and when it rain, and normally there it rains a lot.
For sure.
Difficult to training there. We need to go for an indoor. Our dressing rooms, it was the dressing rooms for a common place where you have tennis, you have other sports and multi-sports. Yeah. You don't have a place where you can work with, but all these things, it could help us, you know, to have this extra point. But special when you're missing one or two players, you miss this continuity, and the confidence is not the same. But at the same time, everything what we made, it was really it was amazing. After when I left, and after left also Leicester, when I have a little bit more deep reflection, I said already publicly I regret a lot my decision to left Swansea, because Swansea, it's with you Jenkins, I think it's a person with a different vision for that level, who help deliver something really special for at Swansea. Mm. And I could be also involved on that, and this I regret a lot because I don't have the right patience, and I don't was at that time myself also more calm.
Yeah.
To communicate better, to understand better, to give more time to the things happens. Mm. And I regret, I said that already, and it's a point also he give me the possibility to today to be different.
Yeah. And well, I suppose now you do have that experience, because you know you've coached in Hungary, mm-hmm. you've coached in Israel, Switzerland, mm-hmm. China. And of course, you found yourself in Italy as well, yeah. with Fiorentina.
Yeah.
And how different a coach were you then when you arrived in Italy to the one that started out? I mean, the team started spectacularly well. We know from people who know Fiorentina that when the team plays great football, like they did under Fatty Terim, the Artemio Franchi fills up. And there was so much enthusiasm in that first part of the season. Did you genuinely believe, like, I mean, you were top after like 10, 12 games. You were still in the top three with maybe 10 games left. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you believe in the Scudetto at one point?
All my career in that step, it was a progression. Everything, it happens because when you get results, you open your market, and the things, it happens. You need to take decisions. Me, my staff... when we analyze the possibilities, we want also to progress, and progress, it means to have leagues much more competitive, will give us the possibility to keep improving till arriving to Italian football and to Fiorentina. Nobody believes at the moment to where we can achieve that, because already all the players, the top players, they allow them, you know, to compete in champions. Mm. They was sold, and the final ones, it was before in the same year where I arrived. We tried to keep it the or to save the ones we thought the ones it could give us the possibility to compete at the high level, like Savic, Joaquin. And after that season, and I said that already once, and this is the second time, after what happens during all the season with Joaquin and with Savic, probably we compete to for Scudetto, or we compete to be there. And the truth is that it's for all the years, the honors after to buy the club, it was the first year where the city and themselves they was in the first in the first position, and also for them it was a different reality, and we don't was prepared, you know, to keep at that level, because you need to have players, because at the moment you miss one or two key players, the level it drops, and the a league, it's a marathon, and you need to keep perform, to need to keep results, and Italy and my colleagues, they are one of the best to understand the others, you know, and how to dictate the strategies for the games, you know, to don't let their opponents to win, and they started to know us, and with less, or sometimes when you don't have the one or two key players, it's much easier for our opponents, you know, to close down the number of these key players you have on the pitch, and this then. Also, if you fight, the things becoming more difficult and more difficult to get results. But I think in the end, everything what we made, you know, it was amazing for the conditions we have it. And yes, and answer to your question, in the half of the first half of the league, I felt we can compete till the end for the league, and I felt in the moment he opened the market we could be prepared, you know, to feed the team for the request to be competitive to the end. The key moment, it was after the the close the market, also the expectations for the team to have players who could be who could support the team to keep have that level, it don't happens, and all of us in that moment we become a little bit frustrated on that.
The sense that the club don't really believe you can do it.
It's not. I think it's not this the question if the club believed or not. It was it don't was prepared. It don't was ready for that.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, what a story that would have been anyway, a former Juventus player winning the title at Fiorentina.
It could be amazing, because, and this is the things, when the people know me, they recognize me and I'm being respectful for everywhere. Not be loved for all people, but Jesus also, he could not be loved for everyone, for that this is normal here. But respectful, because it's I'm giving all my knowledge, I give all my heart, you know it, in everything what I do it. I'm always very respectful in the professional level and also as a human. You know it, the people recognize when I'm in a project, I'm a really ambitious person and coach, and I want to win. Also, if you have a link emotional with a certain clubs, like it was Juventus, for me, it's what it dictates, it's my team, and my club in that moment, it was a Fiorentina, and I love it, that club.
Yeah. So now, of course, you're giving everything to Bordeaux, and it's, I guess, not entirely dissimilar situation in that, you know, this is a club with an astonishing history. We're standing here next to the chateau, this incredible building at the training ground, and your beautiful stadium left over from Euro 2016, the Mahmoud Atlantique. And you look at the, when you go in the chateau here, you know, you have pictures from the 2009 champion side, you have Yohan Gourcuff on the wall and all the rest of it. They got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League the next year. Now, you've already said that the club has asked you to be creative in building the team. And surely the main thing for you is to fill that beautiful stadium. Yeah. How are you going to do that?
Winning games. It's this, in football, you don't have other solutions. It's winning games. But to winning games, you need to perform. This is another thing. And all the culture, because you have lots of ways... it conditionate the final win, and one of the things is the restructure of the club inside regarding administration, the leaders on all these things, where they have the same vision than me, where he can be supportive to build it up, a squad who give us that possibility, for that inside of the chateau, inside in the administration, and also with a squad, we need to have a winning culture, and it's not like that. It's you need to be consistent in everything what you do it. And one of the ways we want to change the things from the first minute, and it's things we are working. It was already to change the approach of the game. Before, it was a team who wait, looking to defend really deep, where two or three players in counter-attack can resolve, you could resolve the game with one or two actions during the game. And now the team, he need to expose himself, and he need to protagonist.
Yeah.
And this is a completely different approach of the game.
Yeah,
and he need to take time. At the same time, you need to be honest and loyal in everything what you do it. Where the, our fans, they could feel and... have the recognition of to see players, they give everything without limits. But at the same time, the player, he need to be conscious, you know, he need to do he need to pass emotion to our fans, to our city, and the emotions, it means I want to win and I want to perform. It means to be protagonist. To be protagonist, it means
to be brave.
To be brave, everything. When the team you don't have the ball, it's one of my characteristics in all my my teams. It's to have the ball as soon as possible. For that, everybody need to be implicated to, you know, to press, to go, to run, to get the ball the quicker as possible. When the team have the ball, you need to find to keep it. You need to know how to change and to increase the rhythm, how we need to calm the game, where we can recover a little bit, but at the same time, you know, to provoke the opponent, to open space, to have the patience, to after that to create opportunities, and then in the end, this is the difficult part for the coach. It's, you know, to score goals, because you can introduce in your sessions a big number of volume of finishing exercise, but in the end, that it's dictate for the quality of the player. And you can see, you told me in the beginning of this, we're talking about the Champions League. You know, it, if you analyze the, in the last 20 years, they who wins the Champions League? Mainly, you have you have strikers with minimum 15-20 goals.
Yeah.
For that, also in the leagues, if you go to see it, it's, you need to have not only the strikers but the wingers or the second strikers. They need to perform also on that level, because it's the ones that make the difference. My way, what we work, it's to develop dynamics where allows the team to create a several good number of opportunities in each game where they could make the difference with goals.
And of course,
when this goes to give us the opportunity to bring more people on the stadium, because everybody wants to love to be linked with success, and success in football, it's victories, it's winning games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess finally, you have this you have a great team of people around you, and you've said how that's important to have that with you. But you also, I was out on the training pitch watching the reserve team before. You have Yaroslav Plasil there from the very successful years of Bordeaux. Mathieu Chalmé still there. You talked about the emotion. How important is it to have those guys with you who understand the club?
Yes, this is something it's the step we made at Yaro. He played the last year with us. It's a player who knows really well the city and the club, and they have the right spirit, you know, to be involved and to teach, you know, it's the players or the young players to have this winning culture, to have the mentality of what we want to build here in Bordeaux, and this is something we want to keep doing with the players we find out. They are the right ones, you know, to be involved in process. When they arrive to the professional level, they have already this mentality and they can join quicker as possible to deliver.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.